I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He joins us. As usual, guest joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. But Jason Lloyd is in studio, and he is part of the family here at 92.3 The Fan. Even though he wasn't at the Christmas party last night, the holiday party.
I had things to do.
You had things to do better than hanging out and drinking with me?
That does sound appealing, but I had stuff to do.
Jonathan Wells showed up.
Wow. You think you're better than me now, don't you?
Oh, jeez. Well, now that you've already handed out the pitchforks and lit the torches
for the last...
Oh, my God.
Well,
last time I sent you a text at 6:30 in the morning.
I wanted to know what you were hot on.
He's a saboteur. He does this all the time to curry favor with his fans.
That's not true.
He sets the stage for everybody to get upset with anybody who might be involved except him.
Jerk, you agree with me.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
We agree with each other here, and so now normally, we turn our focus on you. Don't you turn it on me. We turn it on you.
Well, no,
boy.
Normally Anthony and I are like always in lockstep, so are we going to wrestle? Do we disagree on this?
No, you guys will probably have some sort of thing, and this will be over in 2 seconds, and then we'll have to do the next 58 minutes disagreeing with each other, because that's always fun.
Well, listen, my whole thing, Ken texted me this morning and said, what do you want to talk about? I said, I don't care.
No, you didn't.
No, I did. No. Look at the text. Okay, I said, I'm open to anything. I said, but... You know, I thought it was a terrible idea to go for it on fourth down Saturday night, but that was 4 days ago, so if you don't want to talk about it anymore, if we've already moved on to Cincinnati.
Oh, no, sir.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You did say that.
And it's an indictment on why you can't give him this job. Yes, 100%. There are times to be aggressive and go for it because that's the right call.
I wasn't the one who wrote Beyond Stupid. You wrote Beyond Stupid.
Oh, now we're telling tales out of school
here. We're going Beyond Stupid.
Well, I wrote it was insane.
Like Far Beyond Driven, it was Far Beyond Stupid.
I wrote in The Athletic it was insane.
So you've calmed down, actually, since then.
Apparently so. Listen, my whole thing is there are times to be aggressive. And there are times when you are aggressive because you're basically just unbuttoning an extra button and popping your collar because I'm Greg Williams and this is what I do. And this, to me... reeked of the second and not the first. This was not the time to be aggressive and go for it. And to me, it's an indictment on the decision-making. This year, it's all fun and games. This year, it's great. This year, there's no expectations. Everything's wonderful with the Browns. Next year, there's going to be a lot of expectations on this team. And that, and the whole idea that going for it, well, if we don't get it, then I trust the defense to win the game for us. Actually, you're not trusting the defense to win the game for you. You're saying, I don't trust my defense to win, so we better get it here. We better get the first down here and punch it in because I don't trust them. This is Case Keenum on the other side of the field. It's not Aaron Rodgers. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not Tom Brady. It's Case Keenum. They hadn't moved the ball on him all night. Kick the field goal, keep the momentum, win the game. That easily could have lost them the game. I thought it was going to lose them the game. As soon as they didn't get it, I'm like, well, Denver's going to go down and kick a field goal now.
In total honesty, if we're telling tales out of school and telling tech stories.
Yeah.
Andy Billman, the director.
Yeah.
He was texting during the show or during the game. And they went for it and they didn't get it. And it was bye-bye, Greg.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because 100%. You thought, I did. I go, man, they're going to come down. They're going to kick this field goal. And this whole thing's going to change.
The thing I don't get.
I was sick when they didn't get that.
They could not drive the ball all night. Denver's only touchdowns in the first quarter. And it took 7 or 8 minutes of dinking and dunking down the field. Now they have no timeouts and 1:53 left. You kick the field goal, you're going to force them to go the length of the field with no timeouts, something they haven't done all night, really, in that amount of time. It was, to me, it was example A of why you cannot give him the job.
Okay, I want to talk bigger picture because with that call, my whole life, I told Ken, I said it on the air on Monday, my whole life, I have been kick the field goal guy. I've been from the trestle school. I've been field position.
The punt is the most important play in football.
Exactly, all of that. Now, the league has evolved, so, you know, we as fans have to evolve with it.
Sure.
Now, I also think a lot of times fans are in Madden mode where they're way too evolved. They're on the other side of things where they're like, well, it's not my job on the line. Go for it. Go for it. What do I do? I just get to reset the game if it doesn't go my way. Well, these guys would lose their job. And Greg Williams, now that we've talked pressure in the past, there is some pressure on this team. I was fascinated by the fact that, you know, they went for it. They made no apologies about it. And I thought to myself, in that moment, I could show you my text. I said, you know what? I'm okay with this. And I'm the guy that crushes these coaches when they don't do what I want them to do. And I was like, you know what? My whole life I kicked the field goal. In this case, I get it because I've listened to the players and I've listened to how the players have been transformed in their mentality. I mean, it's a young team, but even some of the veterans, they love playing for this guy and they love playing for Freddie Kitchens on offense. And I think that you can't just talk the talk about being aggressive and then not go for it in that situation because you win the game. And if they win the game there, what are people saying? You know,
I'm still saying it's insane. It was the wrong call.
Well, I appreciate I believe you. I don't believe other people.
Yeah.
In that
so
situation.
A couple things on that. Number
well,
one.
Is it aggressive or is it reckless?
It's
because
reckless.
You could say, hey, let's kick the field goal. I count on you guys to go out there and keep them out of the end zone. We got a minute left. Go keep them out of the end zone.
No
now
timeouts.
We're up four. They got no timeouts. Mm-hmm. You could always switch it around and say it like that. Look at the defense and go, I need a stop. I need it here, baby. We got to have it together. And then you go out there and you play defense. You could always swing it that way.
It's not like this game was 35-31. It's not like the defense couldn't get off the field on either side. It's not like this was a shootout. Like, they were getting stops all day long. It reeked of reckless.
Yeah, I just the way the NFL is, the way if you hold a receiver for a split second, the way if you touch a quarterback, it's a 15-yard penalty. They're one first down away from then beating you. And then Greg Williams is done.
Well, guess what? They only need 45 yards because you didn't get the first down. They only need 45 yards. In that air with that kicker, he can make it from 60. If you kick the field goal and make him drive, you're thinking 75, 80 yards compared to 45 yards. I'll take the field goal and make him go 75, 80 yards all day long.
All right, furthermore, let me ask you this then, because we got in a debate earlier in the year. I don't recall exactly which game it is, but there is growing momentum for what I'm about to say in situational football, and the Browns will be faced with this at some point in the future. They were up one, okay, with the ball and driving. And it was the Oakland game. Okay,
yep.
If they score a touchdown, I think we're talking, you know, at the end there. Let's say before it had whittled down, let's say they had scored a touchdown on a play that's broken or whatever. If they score that touchdown, do you kick the extra point to go up eight, meaning Denver has to do two things to beat you, or do you go for two where there's no way Denver can beat you, and if you miss it, it's back to seven?
No, you got to kick the extra point.
See, I think there's growing momentum in the league to go for two in those situations
and
to make it a nine-point game.
A lot of times I'm go for two guy because I think you're better off going 2 yards than kicking however long the extra point is now.
Do they or do they not believe, the NFL coaches, that the field goal, even though it's 33 yards and we're seeing more missed, is still the easier way to go?
They do believe that.
Okay, then you would say, well, the most they can do is they can tie it. If they want to go for two, they can do it at their own peril.
Right.
Are we seeing more two-point conversions being converted?
I think so.
Being converted?
I don't know about being converted.
I think we're seeing more two-point conversions attempted because of the...
We're seeing more extra points missed.
Because there's more guys missing extra points, and I think that's putting the doubt. It's all working for what the NFL wanted it to do, because now we're talking more about strategy. Basically, God, when this station started, we never talked about things like this. Now we talk about it every week.
Right.
You have more guys, and if you miss one, it just puts the doubt in someone's mind. That you're not going to hit this. I'm 2 yards or 2.5 yards away instead of being 33 yards away. I don't know if you're going to be able to hit this kick.
Right.
So I think it's a little different.
Okay, so I'm being asked a question, and it is a good follow-up. What is your opinion? Thank you, Khalif fan. 330, what is Jason's opinion on going for the win like Anthony Lynn did in San Diego?
So, I love that.
That's interesting.
I did.
I'm...
Wait a minute. Now I want to go back. That was the 2-point conversion at the end, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, to just flat out win the game.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not Mr. Conservative all the time. It's the context of the situation. You have to understand who your opponent is. You have to understand who the opposing quarterback is. Again, it's not an MVP all-pro quarterback on the other side. It's Case Keenum on the other side, who hasn't been able to drive really since the first quarter. So, and it's interesting when you bring up that the players love Greg Williams and everything. Because the defensive guys, and if you put a microphone in a player's face and say, hey, do you think Greg Williams should be back? Of course they're going to say yes.
Yeah, right now.
99.9% of them are going to say yes. So I don't put a whole lot of stock in that. But I like to just BS with guys, off the record, candid, how do they really feel? And a lot of the defensive guys still feel that way. Like, they say a lot of the same things. A lot of the offensive guys are like, I don't know, there's a lot of season left. Let's see. Let's see how it goes.
And a couple Whoa!
No.
Oh my God!
This just did. Browns is, offensive players are not fans of Greg Williams.
This is why we can't have nice things, because of you two immature children.
Guess what's going to be on the headline later?
I heard what you said. Make sure, Owen, to note that he says the offensive players want him out.
That is not
the first bus out of Cleveland. That's what you said.
You're the one who talked to him.
Yeah, that's how I'm writing it, word for word.
If they said they wanted to keep Greg Williams, they would have kept Greg Williams.
I said
to keep Greg Williams.
I was walking one player out of the locker room after the game the other night on the offensive side. I'm not going to name names, but I was talking
Baker
to one.
Baker Mayfield.
And it was not Baker. And stop spitting
okay,
out names.
There's 10 to go.
There we go. Whittle them down.
I'm sorry, Jason.
And I was walking out with a guy, and I told him, I said, I thought I was insane. I thought I was totally insane to go for it. And he laughed. He goes, I'm with you. I thought it was insane.
Revolting against Greg Williams.
Wait a minute.
Two different headlines.
Offensive players think Greg Williams is insane.
Jason. Well done, kid. Jason. They said, quote, they said, I agree with you. I thought it was insane.
Yeah. To go for it. Yeah.
I can't believe Joel Bitonio would tell you.
It was not Joel Bitonio. Would you stop doing that?
I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Stop doing that.
Jarvis Landry. No.
Okay, so we got eight left.
Wait, that wasn't a no.
No,
that's true.
It was not Jarvis Landry.
So,
stop.
So we're down to what?
Man.
Nine.
So eight. Falling for our trap.
So they really. So there are a couple who are like, whoa. What are we doing here?
I just think, and like in just talking to a couple people, where I say like, I you know, I don't know if this is such a great idea for him to get the job full time, and sometimes you don't get a lot of resistance back.
Well, because I do start to think. Do you believe you can get that first down if you're out there on offense? If you're talking, Jason, if you talk to an offense, I'm serious now.
Yeah.
You talk to an offensive guy, he goes, yeah, I thought it was crazy too. Are they going back out there like, I don't think we're going to get this.
I don't know, but
this is not the right decision.
But I think common sense is kick the field goal. Go up four, win the game.
But those plays, fourth and one, when it's a handoff, that's execution. Yeah, basically everybody in the stadium, for the most part, thinks there might be a couple of yahoos, but for the most part, thinks you're going to run the ball, try to get that first down.
Right.
You've been running the ball before, and everybody in the stadium knew you were going to run the ball before, and you were executing like crazy.
Yep. Yep.
But if I'm questioning you going out there, I don't know. It makes it maybe a little harder to execute. Maybe I'm thinking too much in it. That's always a possibility. But when you have a guy saying, "Oh, I thought it was pretty crazy myself," or what was the word? Insane. I thought it was pretty insane myself. Hey, that throws you off a little bit. That throws you off.
I'm just saying. I've said enough. Go to break.
No. We go to 19 with you and the opening. Are you kidding me? No. We go all the way up.
All right, let's keep.
You're
going.
On the hot seat right now,
no,
buddy.
I'm not on the hot seat.
Listen,
I'm right.
We've got eight more offensive players to roll through. We've got.
We're
going to do that in four and a half minutes.
My thing is, look, we all disagree with coaches and certain aspects of it, and it's not a science. So a lot of these calls are 50-50. I get that you don't think this one is in particular, but to then not hire the guy because of one, you got to have more decisions than that.
Well, I'm just saying this is an indictment on the type of coach that you're getting. And it's funny because John Dorsey has to watch the game with the media on the road. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. They sit right above us. Like the entire Browns front office has to sit with the writers on the road in every press box. Like at home, they have their own suite where they can curse, kick, yell, and whatever else. On the road, they sit 6 feet away from us.
Surprised he's on the sidelines.
No. Huh? No, he's in the press box the whole time.
To get away from you, I would not like, that's not a shot. To get away from the press, I would stand on the sidelines if I was him.
No, but it's funny
because you don't want anything slipping out if you're him.
That's exactly right. But he, like, to his credit, he didn't say a word. Like, doesn't show emotion.
Wow.
As soon as they came out for fourth and one, the first thing I did was, like, look in the reflection to see what John was doing. Like, he'd be a great poker player. It was stone face. Not
really.
Oh, yeah. Not, oh, my That's God, what stone. Are we doing? Not, yes, like, just stone face.
That tells me he's not really into the football team this year. That's what Jason's saying. Put that on the headline, Owen.
Drunken
There's
mess.
A third one.
Dorsey doesn't care about the team.
Whoa! Okay.
You've got to.
You only get half of the ding, ding, ding.
But no, it's fascinating to me that, like, the entire Browns front office has to watch the game with the media on the road.
That is a little bit odd. I never knew about that. That's everywhere?
Everywhere. Everywhere we've been.
That's weird.
I'm trying to think. Actually, I guess New Orleans, they had a couple seats, I think, on the other side
of the press
box. I've
never seen that in Cleveland, though. Like you never saw Jerry Reese or anything sitting right there with. Maybe I just never noticed.
Their assigned seats are directly above us. That's where they sit for the vast majority of the game.
All right, so that in itself.
Listen,
you're telling me this, but this is the first time. I'm sorry, Jason, but this is the first time we're hearing non-analyst opinion, where you have a player who told you, "I believe you." You have a player who told you that it was insane.
We were walking out of the locker room.
Was it jovial? I mean, obviously it was jovial that they won.
We were talking and walking out of the locker room, and I said, I thought it was insane. And he kind of laughed and said, yeah, I'm with you there.
Okay.
And that was really the extent of it.
All right, Jason, the one thing that I'm trying to explain, and I'm more open-minded today, my goodness, exponentially more open-minded today about this coaching staff than I was 4 weeks ago. And part of that is new information, more games.
Right.
These players, I get it, you know, the stuff they're saying, but they're also demonstrating it. And that stuff means a lot to me. At the same time, you know, they've lost the two really good teams they played. They've lost two by double digits. That was a good win because it's on the road with the playoffs. That was a great win.
Yeah.
Yes, that was an absolutely great win. I shortchanged it by saying good. That was a great win. But am I wrong in saying John Dorsey has to actually now evaluate the wins?
Of course.
Fans are not doing that. Fans are just saying wins. A win is a win is a win is a win.
They've been beaten down for 20 years, so any win looks like a good win, and I get it. I understand it. But I will just tell you that there was another coach in Cleveland not that long ago that won a lot of games that had no business holding the job. David Blatt. Won a lot of games.
You watch your mouth.
Was not the right man for the job. And I don't want to. And I think Greg Williams has done a bunch of really good things, obviously. Like, no one saw this coming when he took over. And all credit to him for that. But that doesn't necessarily make him the guy going forward.
But it doesn't give him a seat at the table at all to have that discussion.
It gives him a lot more of a voice in this process than I thought he was going to have.
That's true, because I don't think any of us gave him a real shot in hell. Especially, again, that opening press conference, when you start out a press conference, listen, I've had 11 offers and 4 slips saying that I just take the job, just sign up for it. That seemed bizarre.
And all of that feeds into why I would not hire this guy full time.
What, do you think he'd get too full of himself and cost this football team? I'm serious. Is that a concern?
Yes, there are times where you're aggressive because it's the right call, and there's the times where you're aggressive where you unbutton one more button and you pop the collar because you're Greg Williams.
Just a you know what measuring contest.
Yes, and that to me that 4th-and-1 felt like exactly that, and it just stuck in my head of this is why you can't hire him. And I love what he's done. Like, he's cleaned up a lot of problems with this program. It doesn't make him the right guy going forward. It's more to me. It's more of an indictment on Hugh and Haley. Than it is an endorsement on him.
What I think it does help, because I still believe there's part of me that does want, because I'm an excitable boy, there's part of me that I'm going to admit that does want him to be the head coach. But there's also, I say, if John Harbaugh were available, I'd forget Greg Williams in a moment and go get him.
Yep.
And there's going to be a possibility that he's available. And there's also part of me that knows that in my heart of hearts, no matter what I say, it still feels like it's a 20% shot. And maybe it's for those reasons that you've just said.
And the day he was hired, it was a 0% shot.
Zero.
That's what I thought.
And credit to him for getting it to whatever the percentage is now. But that's credit to him.
There is a chance he's done something better for the next possible candidate with the win. I want to get to that when we come back. And also, this Freddie Kitchens business, I love Freddie Kitchens. There's something about it that's starting to bother me. I want to run it by you. Jason Lloyd joining us in studio right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima on the Fan. Jason Lloyd with us in studio.
You guys are a bad influence on me.
I am. I'm a terrible influence.
It's way more fun
you.
Than you have with Bull and Fox. Not even close. Come on.
Oh, wait. Hey. Who's more fun?
Oh, no. Not doing that.
Oh, now he doesn't have a bold opinion.
I love all my guest appearances equally.
That's a lie. That is a lie.
That is a lie.
Thank you very much.
We've heard you on some other shows over the years.
That one. I'm not going to say on air. I'll keep that between us. Jason Lloyd joining us on the show.
Oh, that you'll shut your mouth over.
Well, you know, you don't want to hurt anybody's.
Finally found something.
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings who might be coming from Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn. Anywho, I wanted to bring something up with you. The thing about Greg Williams and what do you want to take the call here soon?
No, I just want to play this audio for.
We will. I promise. The thing about
you've
Greg
been
Williams,
avoiding that the entire show.
I have been. Because I think he's silly. Anyway.
Because it's a positive comment about Josh McDaniels, who might be the number one candidate.
No, I'm not.
Just admit you hate him.
I don't hate him. Jason.
Greg Williams lover you?
All right, the hell with you. Oh, yeah, I got a guy who's actually winning games in the NFL. You know, if he wins the next two games, he'll be 6-2. Mm-hmm. Not 8-8 like you, like Jason, what's his nuts was. Josh McDaniels
Pretty
was.
I'm sure McDaniels started 6-2. Well, that's a terrible argument.
Well, wait a minute. Can you guarantee that Greg Williams would go 8-8?
Does he have Tebow as his quarterback? Does he have Jay Cutler? Who does he have?
He has Baker Mayfield.
Oh.
As his quarterback.
I do got to say, I mean, Baker is playing at such a level, and I keep reminding people, and people get upset about this because they want to give all the credit to the coaches. I think people are giving too much credit to the coaches when it comes to Baker. Baker, in that Denver game, you know, he was off.
Yeah.
The big plays were all freelance. Every big play he made was him freelancing and making something happen. Wasn't anything. Even they admitted after the game, Greg Williams said, that touchdown, that was all Baker. He goes, that wasn't me or Freddie. Yeah. That was all Baker, and I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't them trying to mug for the cameras and get all the credit. But Baker deserves the credit. Yes, yeah. Freddie deserves some credit. Don't get me wrong. But Baker deserves the credit.
I think Freddie's put him in a better position to succeed.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But you still got to make the plays. And I wholeheartedly agree. It doesn't matter. If Brandon Whedon's your quarterback, it doesn't matter if you have Freddie Kitchens.
Nobody's talking about Freddie Kitchens retaining him if Brandon Whedon's your quarterback right,
right.
now. Or,
yeah.
or anybody in that quarterback room last year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jason Lloyd with us on the show. The reason I wanted to bring up Greg Williams one more time, and then we'll get to the Josh McDaniels clip for crying out loud, is the reason I bring it up is because what I think Greg Williams is doing, though, and this might be a little bit fan-induced, and maybe I'm not thinking the way that John Dorsey would, I think him winning, though, and them being 6-2, I think it thins the herd on possible coaching candidates. Think about this. There could be 9 jobs that are open. Now, we could speculate or whatever. We don't have a list right now. We have the Browns and we have the Packers. The Packers make themselves a good argument, obviously, because they have Aaron Rodgers. But if we go with Denver being open, if we go with the Jets being open, those are the ones that we would conceive right now that would possibly be right there, then and there and open. Yeah. So you add those to the mix, you got 4 jobs right there. Are the Browns up there? Are the Browns number 1? Maybe number 2 because of Rodgers, depending on where it is. I think you got yourself an elite list of head coaches that you would pick from that you would feel confident in because Greg Williams isn't 2-6.
Right.
If he were to win out, he'd be 6-2.
Right.
So I think that does change the perspective on the type of quality candidate because by this time, you'll know that Baker Mayfield's obviously good and has a bright future and should have a bright future, that you do have talent on that football team and you can win some games with the talent on that football team.
If my choice is Mike McCarthy or Greg Williams, I'll take Greg Williams.
Wow.
I would. So it's not like
I've done whoa too many times to do it now, but my God, whoa.
But no, I'm serious. But I just think that the Browns job is the number one job out there. I think it's better than the Packers job because, yes, you have Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers is toward the end of his career right now, where Baker, you got 15 years in front of you. This team's got hundreds of millions in cap space. I'm exaggerating slightly. It's a brighter future in Cleveland than it is Green Bay. I could make that case very strongly that the Browns are better positioned going forward.
For the next 10, 15
so
years, yes.
So I don't want to see – like, that's why you can't just say, oh, well, Greg Williams won all these games. Let's throw our hands up and make him the coach. No, you still have to go through the process. This is the number one job available this winter. So why would you just throw your arms up and settle for the number one – for the guy just because he's been here and he's won a couple games? Like the clip you played earlier, I think it was Graziano or something. I was listening to the car on the way in.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. You can't change everything because of 6 to 8 weeks. Now, has he got himself a seat at the table? Yes. 100% yes. Whereas before, he didn't even have a seat at the table. Now he does. Now you have to give him a legitimate chance, but you're just not going to fall down and name him the coach.
All right, you want to do your Jason Lloyd, I should say Josh McDaniels, Adam Kaplan thing. You go ahead.
That's what I've wanted to do my
whole life. I'm washing
my
hands of this, so you go right on ahead.
All right, so Kaplan was on yesterday. He's everywhere. He does Sirius radio and all that. He was on yesterday with Bull and Fox.
Well, everybody wants to have that guy on. No one can tell his credentials, but go ahead.
I said Sirius radio.
Oh, yeah.
He's serious about it.
Yeah. And he had this to say about the Browns coaching search and who could be the number one guy, Josh McDaniels.
You know, I've already put my list together just from talking to NFL people, and he's my number one guy, and he definitely wants to be a head coach. I know some people say, well, you know, he could be Belichick's successor, but the problem with that is you don't know when he's going to retire. I mean, this is the guy. I mean, he's not lost anything. They're still one of the best teams in the NFL. Josh, and despite, and I knew this would be the case, despite what happened last year from him verbally agreeing with to be the Colts head coach, then walking away from it, I don't think it's going to hurt him because with John DeFilippo's situation, unfortunately, because he would have been the top choice. It's either would have been either DeFilippo or McDaniels. Now it's McDaniels, clearly. I mean, after that, it's such a drop-off. As far as being the Browns head coach, look, they've had interest. It's not a secret in him in the past. It's just a matter of John Dorsey's got to get pretty good intel on what happened with the Colts and whether he could work with them. Because after what's happened with them, you need to have the right information and not fly off the handle with what happened last year.
All right, that was yesterday on Bull and Fox, Adam Kaplan. So, Jason, I have been big on Josh McDaniels. There are questions, and there are questions about all these coaches. There are questions about the whole leader of men thing, him going back on his word last year.
Yep.
All of that needs to be vetted out, certainly, by John Dorsey and Jimmy Haslam. But it's not like he's going to come in there and have no answers for any of that, and have no answers for why there were failures. You know, 8 years ago, it was that long ago that he was the head coach, believe it or not, when he was the youngest head coach, I think, in NFL history at that time. So why, you know, Ken doesn't want to really talk about him as a leading candidate that much, but why are Browns fans so against Josh McDaniels? Because around the NFL, he was considered, had he have, been interviewing in Chicago, he would have probably been hired over Nagy.
My biggest concern with him, two, I have two. One, what you just touched on with Indianapolis, what happened, why did he back out? That's a big red flag to me. But if he's got a strong answer for it, you know, Colts ownership's pretty crazy, too. That guy's pretty crazy, too. And he may have gotten into a situation where he thought, man, this isn't a good fit for me.
So I picked Jimmy Haslam.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and number two, what Patriots assistant has ever had success away from Bill as a head coach at the NFL level? That's concerning to me. Now, that doesn't mean it can't happen, because I was the guy saying, well, Pat Mahomes can't succeed in the mm-hmm. NFL because Texas Tech's never produced a quarterback who can play in the NFL.
And Bill O'Brien's been successful.
So,
and Vrabel's having some early success to it.
Up and down.
Well, one season, I'm not going to say Vrabel's the guy. And O'Brien could be that guy. He could be. But guys who get away from Belichick tend to fall on their face more times than not.
It's true.
But if you can, it doesn't mean you rule them out, but it's a big concern. But I've said from the beginning, if John Dorsey, whoever's sitting on the podium next to John Dorsey in January, I'll say, okay, he's brought them this far. There's no reason to doubt him now. My only concern is if Jimmy Haslam overrules him.
So you would still think that he would be overruled with that?
Of course. He's Jimmy Haslam.
Man,
he's the owner of the team.
I would hope that he would have learned his lesson. It's a
whole
thing.
Well, then this whole thing is pointless.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what he says. You can't. He's trusted so many times. He's tried to trust guys before, and they've led him astray. The NFL putting him together with Joe Banner, and that ended very quickly and prematurely, because Joe Banner basically promised him that they were going to be able to go out and get Chip Kelly, hence the firing of Rob Chudzinski. And then they didn't get Chip Kelly, and they were left with their pants down, and they went through seven different possibilities, and they finally got their Mike Penn, who wasn't a bad head coach. And, gosh, I think he would be probably pretty successful if he had Baker Mayfield and a guy who actually cared and wanted to win football games. So they still ended up with somebody okay, but I think that he's been through so much. Now you have a competent football guy that everybody here is giving outstanding grades to. It's been few and far between. Like, we talked about it this morning just very briefly. Emmanuel Agba has not really been what we've wanted him to be this year.
Fair.
Maybe I would say, you could have held on to Carl Nassib if you really wanted to. Even though he's more of an interior guy, you still could have held on to Carl Nassib because you saw him chase down Lamar Jackson. I don't know if Emmanuel's going to be able to do that. But other than that, there's very few strong criticisms you can make of the guy. So I wouldn't want to put my entire lot in with John Dorsey. If he's not willing to do that, then, man, we have been wasting our time from the moment Hugh Jackson got fired 2 months ago.
Has Jimmy Haslam ever shown proof that he will stay out of the way? Has he ever shown? Do you have any evidence that he has ever stayed out of the way?
No, but I can't guarantee that he will, but I can only go in the past. The past would say that he would get in the way.
Absolutely.
The only hope is that he would have learned his lesson and not get in the way of an actual football
guy. That's hope. The evidence says that he won't, but we'll see.
216-578-0092. More of you guys coming up. And then, I guess a little bit more of this Josh McDaniels stuff. And later on, Ohio State on a Friday night. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lyman live on The Fan.
Jason Lloyd with us in studio. I know we've been doing a lot of Browns coaching stuff. Nothing new. Sorry, guys. That's kind of a big story here. But I do want to ask you about the Indians, because the Indians, very interesting, the reaction right now they're getting from fans as if free agency is over.
Right.
But at the same time, given everything that they've lost, and they traded Yonder Alonso now, Edwin is gone. Last year it was all about the boppers. It was all about launch angle. It was all about how many home runs. And now they're trying to sell us on, Well, Carlos Santana is very patient at the plate, and he's going to draw walks, even though all his numbers are going down except for walks. So far, I know you can't judge it in total, but so far, are you a little miffed at what the Indians are doing in the offseason, or do you understand the path they're taking?
I actually would rather them do this than trade Kluber or Bauer. So if those are the options, if they have to cut, like the Gomes thing, I had no problem with because I really like Roberto Perez. And
over Gomes?
Yeah, I do. Defensively, I think he's better.
Then they rave about how Yan manages the pitching staff.
I think this Haas kid is going to have a real shot for them because I find them, sorry, Jason, I find them to be at a real strong crossroads here, and I think they're going to try to mix in young talent without even really making it abundantly clear that they're going to be mixing in young talent.
Well, they need a second catcher. But just the way Perez can frame pitches and his arm defensively, I'm fine with him.
He's a lifetime 205 hitter, batted 168 last year.
He's going to hit 210 over the course of a season. He's going to hit 210 with 15 homers. But the work that he does defensively trumps what he's going to give him offensively.
I still think I'd much rather have Yan Gomes. I think this is more on Haas than it is on Roberto Perez. I think Roberto Perez is a getaway day catcher. And is a guy who will eventually be, he might start out the season as their catcher, but I think that this kid is going to take over. And
Ken once called me a getaway day host, by the way.
I didn't do that. I believe that this is a team that is stuck in a spot where they know, and their fan base knows, that you can't compete with Houston, you can't compete with Boston, you can't compete with the Yankees. And so you're in a spot where the division is so bad, you can't just say, well, you know, the Tigers are that good, we can't compete. Because a lot of people would go, oh, you can't compete, you might as well sell them off. But now since the division is bad and you should win the division, well, you owe it to your team and to your fan base to try to do it. But if you're already have spent this money that you've spent and you weren't able to get it done, well, I don't know where else you're supposed to go other than to try to retool. But now you don't have that luxury like the Detroit Tigers did where, hey, the Indians are really good, and boy, we've taken on a lot of salary. We got to get rid of this because this is bad now.
Well, yeah, the Tigers had no shot at winning
at
that time. That's not the case with the Indians. And I'm willing to reserve judgment until we see what else they do in the outfield and let them finish this off and see how it looks at the end. Right now it looks ugly, yeah, 100%, yeah. But you can't judge it right now because you're still halfway through the book. You haven't finished the book yet. But again, I would rather them do this. I would rather them trade. And I thought Encarnacion was fine. Like, I thought he lived up to the contract for what they expected out of him. I thought he was great. But I would rather them do what they've done to this point rather than trade, particularly Bauer. I really didn't want to see him trade Bauer. But if they can keep that pitching staff intact, you've got a shot to win every day. Every day you can win with that pitching staff.
Well, that's why it's so interesting that they were floating out. The rumors obviously didn't come out of nowhere. They were obviously talking to teams about trading Kluber and trading these guys.
And I think that they didn't get what they wanted for it. Like, they had a really lofty price. You know, no team was willing to meet that price, so they went this route instead. I would rather them do that than sell off Bauer and Kluber for pennies on the dollar and not get full value in return.
So you believe that the window's still open for them?
Okay. I do.
All right.
But are they in a catch-22 knowing that Trevor Bauer basically just said, well, you're not going to be able to re-sign me?
Well, they knew that. They knew that before he said that.
He's probably told them before he actually said it on the TV.
Yeah, they knew that. That's no surprise to them. They got 2 years left with him. They know that. But maximize these two. Like, that was my whole thing with the Cavs. Win while you can win. Don't worry about tomorrow when you have the best player in the world on your floor today. Worry about winning today. And the Indians right now have the best rotation of baseball. With what Houston has lost, they lost Dallas Keuchel.
And Morton.
And Charlie Morton. The Indians have the best rotation, certainly in the American League.
216-578-0092. So do you have a leader in the clubhouse now for the Browns coach?
Nope.
Still no?
Still no. No. You're not going to pressure me.
Why?
But I just got done telling you.
I pressured you into telling me that people that you had a player, a random Browns player, tell you that he thought that it was an insane decision
again,
to go for
it
on fourth down.
It was a flippant conversation on the way out of the locker room. I said I thought it was
flippant
insane.
Now.
And no.
Was it Nick Chubb?
Dear God,
well,
no.
That's another one knocked off.
Down to seven.
Down to seven.
Knock it down.
And anyway, I just lost my whole train of thought. What
it's
were we talking about?
I want you to pick a coach for this football
team. I just got done telling you, if Mike McCarthy's the best you can do, I'd take Greg Williams over Mike McCarthy. I would take Greg Williams So Freddie Kitchen.
So that's on the entire basis that Mike McCarthy would be the best one that you could have.
That's what I'm saying.
Is that really the best option that's out there of all these coaches?
Well, most people would just want to run out and give Greg Williams the job right now without even talking to anybody else.
Well, I think that's because he's winning, but I don't think that's most people. I think there is a strong contingent of people out there who go, yeah, we really like what Greg Williams is doing, but boy, all these people who seem to be in the know are telling us that it's only a 20% shot. If that seems like a really bad shot. It's the same thing as a political candidate. You can have all these grassroots people that you love you, but if you don't have the chutzpah to really back it up, you ain't going to do anything. You'll just get canned in the actual election.
It will come down to who has the final call, John Dorsey or Jimmy Haslam. If Haslam is going to overrule him, Greg Williams probably has a better chance of this job than we realize.
Ted in Cleveland. Ted, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, Ted. Go ahead.
Hey, so I just want to weigh in real quick on the Greg Williams, Browns coaching debacle. I honestly think you guys are, like, you know, the media is it has a big influence, but that's not what I want to talk about.
Oh, I have an agenda.
Well, mine is, personally, I feel as though you look at a guy like Bruce Arians, a guy just like Greg Williams that's going to continue to light the fire under this team. A guy like Josh McDaniels, come on now. He won what? One playoff game in Denver? Come on, that's not going to do it. Honestly, if you want Baker to succeed, you keep Freddie Kitchens. You hire Bruce Arians. This is just my opinion. And you let Greg Williams and his son continue to run the defense. That's my opinion. But they're only going to be successful if Haslam doesn't put his hands on this hire. That's the only way that they're going to go anywhere.
All right. Thank you for the call. People get this wrong. It was not Josh McDaniels. You know, I'd love to provide an argument where he won a playoff game. He did not win a playoff game. That was not Josh McDaniels' team that ended up winning that playoff game when Tim Tebow, he was already gone by that year. But as far as, you know, how we're debating all these things, Ken is like dead set against Williams' son. I'm going to tell you, if Williams is gone, his son is probably gone too, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to keep one.
No.
It'd be a very odd scenario.
No, you'd probably go with him. I just need a little bit more out of it. We go back to it about Freddie Kitchens. I didn't say that Freddie Kitchens was all of a sudden going to be this breath of fresh air that breathes new life into the Cleveland Browns offense. He's done a pretty good job, obviously. I didn't say that about him either. I think that Greg Williams as a head coach, if he were to become the full-time head coach, I think that he needs a defensive coordinator. And then he needs somebody to take over that side. If that's too much for him, then maybe you're not that guy. I like a coach who has coordinators. And just be the manager of the football team if you're going to be that way. I don't like guys calling their own plays. Really on either side of the ball. I think it's too much.
It's working out for the Rams, okay.
Is it? Is it really? Because Jared Goff has, what, 7 interceptions over the last 2.5 games?
I'd still take that team over what we have in Cleveland.
But sometimes I need a player to go ahead and do my business for me, and that player can't do it. I know I'd rather take them over what we have. But I still think that could be a little bit short-sighted there, that they don't have the depth defensively. They're still working on that offense now at the wrong time of the year. There's some things that aren't going that well for the Rams.
Well, sure, but I'd still take where they're at over where this team is.
Oh, of course I would. I mean, come on.
That's a head coach calling the plays. It has to be the right guy. It's not for everyone. But I don't think you can paint with that broad of a brush.
Okay, was it Chris Hubbard?
Huh?
Was it Chris Hubbard who told you it was insane?
No.
All right, we're down to 5. Down to 5.
I mean, we basically nailed it.
All right.
I'm glad the hour's up.
It's got to be someone out there.
Stay tuned for next week.
Was Orson Charles on the plane? Did he come out?
I wouldn't know Orson Charles. Right.
Is it possible? We already guessed the name, but he's that good at having a poker face. He's that good of a liar.
He's John Dorsey in his own way.
That was fascinating to me.
That is pretty cool. I got to tell you that. To have no reaction to that is strong. Yeah. Jason, we thank you very much for the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Jason Lloyd. Find him on The Athletic. Find him right here at 92.3 The Fan and 92.3TheFan.com. Coming up next, Browns and Bengals yet again. Should we keep it quiet this time when we play the Bengals? It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.